Okay. So, when you take the topic of Kiddush Makom Suda sort of out of context, so there are a number of issues that come up, but nevertheless, it's worth seeing them on their own as well as in context of the bigger mitzvah of Kiddush. So, for starters, let's just talk a little bit about what the mitzvah of Kiddush is all about. So the Makoros that I just handed out right now, so we have the tzivui of the mitzvah of Kiddush, which is found in source number 5 on the sheet, right? Anybody recognize those psukim? I bet you everybody recognizes those psukim. Right, where are they from? They're from? Yisro, right? They're known as, colloquially, they're known as the Ten Commandments, right? The Aseres HaDibros. So the fifth of the, got it wrong already. The fourth of the Aseres HaDibros is Zachor Es Yom HaShabbos L'Kadesho. Right? You should be Zocher. What's Zocher in the Torah? What does the word Zachor mean in the Torah? So it doesn't not mean remember. That's, you know, that's true. I can't tell you you're wrong if you say it means remember. But what does it really mean in the Torah? Mention, good, right? You're supposed to remember it, but specifically when we have these Lashonos of Zachor, it always means mention, right? We don't remember Parsha Zachor, we read Parsha Zachor because we have an obligation to mention these things in the Torah, right? So Zachor Es Yom HaShabbos L'Kadesho refers to the obligation to mention the fact that it is Shabbos, right? And obviously last week's Parsha, what did we read in the Aseres HaDibros, which was slightly differently? Shamor, right? Shamor v'zachor v'dibur echa nemru, right? That's what the Gemara tells us in Shavuos and elsewhere, right? So what's the difference between Zachor and Shamor? What's the difference between Zachor and Shamor? Ase and los ase. So what is Shamor essentially referring to? Well, what's the los ase? Don't do 39 malachas on Shabbos. Right? Zachor is referring to what? Kiddush. Right? And maybe one other mitzvah as well. What mitzvah? Not really. Here's an additional makaros. Not Seuda either. Oneg Shabbos is really a pasuk in Yeshayahu, the Karasal Shabbos Oneg, right? So, but it's referring to, take a look at the Rambam in the new makaros. Take a look at the Rambam. And source number 2, Perek Chaf Tes, Halacha Aleph. Here, check this out also. Perek Chaf Tes, Halacha Aleph. Right? Mitzvah Saseh Min HaTorah L'Kadish Es Yom HaShabbos V'Dvarim. Zochor Es Yom HaShabbos L'Kadisho. Kilomar Zochreyu Zechiras Shabbos V'Kiddish. V'Tzarech L'Zochreyu B'Knisaso U'V'Yitziyaso. B'Knisaso B'Kiddish Hayom V'Yitziyaso B'Havdolah. Right, so not only do you have to mention verbally that Shabbos is coming in, you also have to mention when Shabbos is leaving. And therefore, the Rambam Shita is that both Kiddush and Havdalah are min HaTorah. That is the obligation of Zochor Es Yom HaShabbos L'Kadesho. The Ramban disputes this point. The Ramban believes that Havdalah is only midrabbanan, whereas it is true that Kiddush is the Oraisa. They have very different functions for the purpose of Kiddush. We're not going to get into that right now. That's really what the second set of Makoros are about, but they're helpful for our topic as well. But just by way of introduction, we have the mitzvah of Zachor Es Yom HaShabbos L'Kadesho, right? And then we also have the mitzvah of Havdalah, learned from the same place, perhaps. Right? Chaps and Afkamin, if women are obligated in Havdalah, right? Are women obligated in the mitzvah of Kiddush?
Yeah.
Yes, right? I always find it humorous whenever women are running around looking for a man to make Kiddush for them. Right? I'm not the world's biggest feminist, but I always just thought, like, you know, you don't have to necessarily run around looking for mitzvahs that you're not chayav in, but this is a mitzvah that you are chayav in just as much as anybody else. And therefore, a woman who wants to make Kiddush for herself, or perhaps even for her whole family, it would not be a problem at all. Halachically speaking, I'm not talking about sociological issues, But nevertheless, the women are obligated in Kiddush min HaTorah. There's the famous Kasha. You guys know the Kasha of the Dagul Mervava about Friday night Kiddush. How could you be motzi your wife in Friday night Kiddush? Right? I don't know. That's a nice topic to discuss. Hmm?
Derabana.
Yeah, well, who's chayav min derabana?
Father.
Father, right? Father might only be chayav min derabana at this point because he already spoke about inyanim of Shabbos in shul. Right? So we have the concept of Kiddush is really not a chiyuv on a cup of wine. According to the Rambam and the majority of the Rishonim, Kiddush al Hayayin is only midrabanan, whereas Kiddush bidvarim with words is min haTorah. So Kiddush bidvarim, the guy was already yotzei when he davened Marav and Shul, whereas the wife might not have been yotzei any kind of Kiddush. So she might be chayav min haTorah versus her husband is only chayav midrabanan. That's the famous kasha of the double mervava. There's like 1,000 answers to that kasha. There, many of them are correct, but some are more correct than others. But nevertheless, the idea is that both men and women are chayiv in the mitzvah of Kiddush. Why are women chayiv in the mitzvah of Kiddush if it's a mitzvah saseh she'azman grama? Afin hayu. Good answer, but not correct. Right? Why is afin hayu not relevant in this case? What? Well, yes, that is the correct answer, but it's not the answer to my question. Right? Why is Afin Hayu not relevant in this case? What? So Tosfos raises the issue. Tosfos asks, why is Afin Hayu Boso Anes only mentioned 3 times in Shas? Right? What are the 3 times in Shas? Afin Hayu was Sukkah is incorrect. Women are putter from the mitzvah of Sukkah. Megillah, Dalet Kosos, and Hanukkah. Right. 3 mitzvahs in the Torah. What do all 3 of those mitzvahs have in common? They're all mitzvos midirabanan, right? There's another place that Rabbeinu Tam mentions it, not quoted in the Tosfos. It's quoted in other places. The Ran in Arvei Pesachim quotes it in the mitzvah of eating 3 meals on Shabbos. He quotes this that women were included in the nace of the month, so they're also included in the obligation to eat Kimmel Seudos on Shabbos. Okay, but nevertheless, it's only mentioned 3 places in the Gemara. Tosfos asks the question, why is Afin Hayu Boso Anes only mentioned in these 3 places? The simplest of answers is that Afin Hayu Boso Anes, here's one more. Afin Hayu Boso Anes is only a din mi derabanan. There are different variations on that answer, but that's essentially the main gist of it. That it's only a din mi derabanan. Okay. Getting back to this, so we say that women are chayiv in Kiddush because of the hekish of Zachor and Shama, right? We have Zachor b'Shama b'Diburecha Namru, and the Gemara writes, Kol Sheyeshno b'Shmira, women are chayiv in all the losaseis in the Torah, right? That's a Mishnah and Meseches Kiddushin. Women are chayiv in all the losaseis in the Torah except for 3, Baal Tashchis, Baal Takif, and Baal Tetam L'Mesin, right? What does Baal Tashchis mean? What? Right, so that's the colloquial term for Baal Tashchis, right? I usually, when I deal with high school guys, I always say, oh, so you see women are allowed to throw food in the garbage because it's they're not chayiv in Baal Tashchis, right? It means don't shave your beard with a razor, right? Tashchis, lashon hashchas, of destroying, and that means to don't shave your beard with a razor. And Baal Takif means don't round off the corners, the peyot harosh, the corners of the head. And Baal Tetamei L'Mesin means if she is a koheness, she is not forbidden to go to a cemetery, etc. Those are the only 3 losaseis in the Torah that women are putter from. So women are chayiv in all the other losaseis, including losase kol malacha, which is represented by shamor es yom haShabbos legadcho. And therefore, anyone who's included in the shmira is included in the zechira, right? We find a similar idea when it comes to Pesach, right? What's the din by Pesach? How do we know women are chayiv in the mitzvah of achilas matzah? Because we say that it says in the same pasuk, right, you should don't eat chametz, and yes, eat matzah. So we say, anyone who's included in Baal Tocha chametz, anyone who's forbidden to eat chametz, is obligated to eat matzah as well. Right, so we have this from time to time. I don't recall off the top of my head any other circumstances where we say this din, but we have this idea that if you're included in the Lo Saseh, there's a hekish in the Torah, so we're makish the aseh to the Lo Saseh. So even though women would have been putter because mitzvah says shesman grama, nevertheless they are chayiv in this particular mitzvah saseh because of the hekish to the Lo Saseh. Okay, so women are chayiv in Kiddush min haTorah. Men are obviously chayiv in Kiddush min haTorah. learned out from Zohar Es Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho. Okay, now with this in mind, we can start a little bit of a discussion as to what the obligation of Kiddush B'Makom Seuda is all about. So Kiddush B'Makom Seuda is learned in the Gemara in Pesachim and Daf Kuf HaMabes. Hopefully everybody got a chance to read the Gemara. So it gives us a host of Amoraim who hold of this business of Kiddush B'Makom Seuda. Right? And we say, there used to be a thing called making Kiddush in Shul. Why they make Kiddush in Shul?
Yes.
Right, for the guests, because in those days the guests used to eat in the shul. Now, are you allowed to eat in a shul? Right, so not really. Although, you know, good luck finding a shul where no one eats in it. But you're not actually allowed to eat in a shul. So the din is that Tosos brings this up, and he says they used to have other rooms. Like if you go to a nice big fancy shul, so they actually don't eat in the shul. Half the time they don't daven in the shul either. They daven in like some small shul. No, I don't mean that. I meant like they don't daven in the main sanctuary most of the time. They daven in like some small side room in which they do eat. And then like Shabbos, they daven in the big shul. But actually, that's like the one place in the whole shul that nobody eats. But nevertheless, you're not allowed to eat in shul. You're not allowed to sleep in shul. And they used to have a side room where the guests would sleep and would eat, etc. And they would you know spend their time on Shabbos. So that's why they. That's why they would make Kiddush in Shul to be motzi the guests, their thiyuv in Kiddush. So for the guests, it would be Kiddush Makom Seuda. However, the post can point out that the person, if you've noticed this, and if anybody goes to a shul where they still keep up the minug to make Kiddush, so what do they do with the Kiddush one? So they usually have like a little lineup, right? They have a lineup of the kids, and the kids drink from the Kiddush wine. That's not just because it's like something fun for the kids. It's really because there's an obligation to drink. Once you made the Bar Priya Gafen, you have to fulfill your obligation to drink from the Kiddush wine. However, there's a secondary problem. The problem is you're not allowed to eat or drink before you are Yotzei the mitzvah of Kiddush. And because the Mekadesh is not going to be eating his meal where he's making the Kiddush. So he's not being Yotzei Kiddush Makom Seuda, and he's not Yotzei the mitzvah of Kiddush. So retroactively, he was never allowed to drink that wine in the first place. You hear what I'm saying? If there's no kids there, then what do you do? So you could drink let me back up one more second, and I'm going to try to get to that. So so just to explain, he's retroactively not Yotzei the mitzvah of Kiddush, and he wasn't allowed to drink the wine. Right, you with me on this? So therefore, what do we do to solve the problem? We have children who are, it's a little bit iffy to begin with. Meaning, you said, what if there are no kids there? I'm going to suggest, what if there are kids there? Still not such a geschmack solution for a different reason. Meaning, we have the same problem during the 9 days. They say, make Kiddush you make Havdalah on wine, and then they give it to a kid. So I think Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach points this out. It's a very simple problem that you're in a very small niche of what type of kid can actually drink from the Kiddush and the Havdalah in the case of the 9 days. Right? Because why is giving it to a kid helpful? Why is giving it to a kid helpful? Right. So they are chayev in chinuch for making brachos. Right, so a kid who's above a certain age, you're above a certain understanding. It really has nothing to do with the age, as you understand yourself. Every kid is different in their development. You have kids, guys who I went to yeshiva with, there are guys who I taught, who even by the age of 15, 17, were, I would have sworn they were some of the least intelligent people you'll ever come across. Some of them today they were very late bloomers, intellectually speaking. I'm not talking about studiously. I'm talking about intellectually, some of these guys are engaged in very, very high intellectual fields, both in Torah learning and in secular jobs, where they're really required to be thinking on the highest of levels. It's really an amazing phenomenon how you see people blooming throughout life. But nevertheless, so you have every kid is different. So you have these kids who are on the level where they're holding by, listening carefully to the brachos, being Yotzei the mitzvah of the Bar Priya Gafen and the Kiddush, the Torah's Chinuch, but they're still below the age where they know from Kiddush B'Makom Seuda, or they know from not eating before Kiddush. Right? So that's a very interesting niche. You understand? Do such children exist? I don't know. And they exist hypothetically. Good luck finding one in real life. Right? Generally speaking, you don't want the kids. Sometimes the kids online, they're very nice. They line up carefully and quietly to get their grape juice. Some of them show up on the line after the bracha has already been made. At the end, the guy said, "Bracha Hashem, Kaddish Hashabbos," and then the kids start lining up. You know, so that those kids didn't hear the bracha. All you're teaching them to do is drink without saying Bar Priya Gafen. But you have to really find the right kind of kid who may or may not fit into that very strange requirement, right? You have a kid who doesn't know that you're not allowed to drink wine during the 9 days, but he still is able. He's holding by paying attention carefully to the brachos, answering amen, and not being masik. Like, I don't know. It's very hard to find such a kid. Okay, well, let's say either A, there are no kids, or B, you can't find such a kid. Right? So what do you do? So what would you suggest that you do based on the limited exposure you've had to these makoros? So I wouldn't actually recommend drinking a tiny bit. Yeah. So you can't eat in shul, but... Right? So I wouldn't recommend that either, and I'll explain why later. Yeah? So, yeah, but nowadays we only make we only do Kiddush and Shul, but Torah's Minhag, that since it's a holdover from the days where guests were in Shul, but there are no guests eating in Shul. Don't do it, but we do it. Meaning the Ran and others, they record the Minhag, and they say that it's the proper Minhag to do in a Shul. It's recorded in Shulchan Aruch. Yeah. Yeah, I don't think that works. I mean, I'm going home half a mile away to my house. That's not a continuation. I don't think that works either. Plus, I want to go home and make Kiddush. I don't want this to be my Kiddush. They got a whole family waiting for me at home. You know, so because the Gabbai, the Shul, or whatever, has to be the Shabbos guy, and he makes Kiddush, you know, for everybody. So he, like, that's not fair to him. Why should his family lose out on making Kiddush? I think the simplest answer is to follow the Shita of the Gaonim. What's the Shita of the Gaonim? The Shita of the Gaonim is that you could be Yotze Kiddush B'Makom Seuda by drinking a revius of wine, right? Drinking a revius of wine is the simplest solution, right? So if you drink a full revius, that might be Kiddush B'Makom Seuda. Problem then becomes you're stuck with the same issue I just raised. You can't make Kiddush at home, right? You can't make Kiddush at home under those circumstances. So that's why often the guy in Shul who will make Kiddush will be someone who's not also in charge of a family at home to avoid this problem. If he has to drink it himself, he'll drink a revius. Otherwise, he'll give it to the children, or if you don't like giving it to the children. And that's partially why many shuls have abolished this minhag of making kiddush in shul. It's not simple to abolish a minhag. Some of the posts can recommend that if you're in a community that doesn't already have a minhag to make kiddush in shul, don't start, because you're running into these halachic problems. Okay, but that's, you know, that's a little of the reason why I make Kiddush Shul. Yeah.
Is that the reason why some people also make halacha? Is that the same reason why people are making halacha at home?
You mean in Shul?
Yeah. They're making it at home.
Yeah.
They also drink.
Yeah, it's the exact reason. Meaning, well, no. The reason for Havdalah, like they give it to a kid to drink. The reason, because they don't want to be Yotze the mitzvah of Havdalah, because they want to make it again later on. But there's no inyan of having Havdalah b'makom Seuda. There's only right. So they want to make Havdalah at home. This minig does run us into some problems. But l'maisa, it's definitely the old minig to do. Yeah.
The other brachos of Havdalah besides.
Yeah.
Didn't the person make the
back to the old man that's making it continue to the kid?
He's still like
that. Right. I mean, you can make the bracha. You can't make a second time once you've made it once on Motzei Shabbos. The Samim, technically, you can make it again because you.
You just know the exact same.
Yeah, I mean, if I can make a shakel here, I can make a shakel at home. That's not a, you know, bore maybe some something, you know, that's you can make technically as many times a day as you want, based on. Right. So the truth is, most of the time, it's interesting that we make the bracha bore minei besamim instead of bore atzei besamim on clothes. We use clothes for besamim. So the correct bracha on clothes is bore atzei besamim, not bore minei besamim. Really, there's a correct bracha on all types of smells. There's bore atzei besamim, bore isvei besamim, right, for something like sweet smelling grasses and things like that. And there's anosin reach tov baperos for sweet smelling fruits, but for some reason the only bracha that gets any love is bore minei besamim. So there's a reason for that. We're not going to get into it right now, but the well, bore minei besamim is motzi all smells b'dieved, but there's a better reason why most people make bore minei besamim in havdalah than any other brachos. Yeah. Yeah, well, because what they were saying is that it was never really a minhag to do it in Eretz Yisrael anyway. Meaning, so they're saying that this was a minhag in Bavel, this wasn't a minhag in Eretz Yisrael to begin with. Yeah. So that's the way it gets in, we get involved with it when we start talking about Kiddush Makom Suda. It comes up, for starters, when we're talking about making Kiddush in Shul. Then we raise the issue of where do we have it over here? That Rabbah held that you have to have Kiddush Makom Suda, but the Gemara has a very interesting way of telling it over. How do we know that Rabbah held in Kiddush Makom Suda? Because Abaye says, Ki havinan be mar, when we were by the house of Mar, right? Mar, when Abaye says Mar, he always means Rabbah. Right? He had a very special relationship with Rabbah, right? What was his relationship with Rabbah? He adopted him, right? What else? He was his uncle, he was his Rebbe. Right, so he had a very special relationship with Rabbah, so he calls him Mar, right? Kiyav Makadesh Amar Lan, when he used to make Kiddush, he would say to us, Te'imu Midi, taste something, Dilma Adaz Lisulu Shpiza Misakra Lechu Shraga V'lo Makadesh Lechu Beves Achila. Maybe by the time you go to your hosts, so the shraga will be uprooted, meaning the shraga will go out, right? What's the shraga for those, right? The candle or the lamp, right? The lo mekadesh lechu beveis achila, and you're not going to be able to make kiddush where you are eating, right? Ubekedusha dahacha lo nafkisu then kiddush el makom suda, and you won't be yotzei with the kiddush I just made because you didn't eat anything because you need kiddush makom suda. So it's a very interesting way that he phrased it. Okay, now. Te'imu midi, you should taste something, eat something. Okay, so we're going to hold off on that thought in terms of why he said it in such a way. Tosfos has an interesting idea. But before we get to that, let's backtrack a little bit to the idea of what is the source of Kiddush Makom Suda. What is the source of Kiddush Makom Suda? So, Bikarasa L'Shabbos Oneg, right? That's the Pasuk in Yeshayahu. That Pasuk in Yeshayahu has many halachas of Shabbos. Right, it has this mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos. It also has the right. What other halachas of Shabbos are found in that pasuk? You didn't. It's not a fair question because the Rashbam doesn't quote the rest of the pasuk.
Oh, is it on Hilchos?
Yeah.
Deep
davar. Yeah, very good. Mitzochetzucha v'davar davar. Right, kavod Shabbos, Oneg Shabbos, not getting involved in business dealings on Shabbos and discussing certain topics on Shabbos. Right, all from that pasuk in Yeshayahu Perek Nun Ches, and here he has an interesting way of phrasing it. In the Rashbam, I underline that part. Rashbam has two possible sources for Kiddush Makom Seuda. Dichsev b'karasa l'Shabbos Oneg, and we darshin b'makom shatachore l'Shabbos, klomar karyei kriya de Kiddush. Sorry, she says. When you read the Kiddush, when you call out the Shabbos, Shom Tehei Oneg. Well, Midrashu, that's a Midrash, he's saying it's not a Din D'oraisa, it's a way we darshan. So he's saying we darshan it out of the Pasuk in Sheol, the Karasa L'Shabbos Oneg, the place where you call the Shabbos, that's where your oneg should be. Right? It's interesting. I didn't give it to you on the sheet because it's just this one little variation in the words. The Rush on this Gemara in Arvei Pesachim has a slightly varied format, but I think they're probably saying the same thing. The way the Rush phrases it is, Bimakom oneg sham te kriya. Meaning, he just reverses the order, which may be significant for us. Right? Says not just in the place where you say Kiddush, that's where your oneg should be. Rather, it's in the place where your oneg is, that's where your Kiddush should be. You hear? Okay, so that's a thought. Keep in mind. That's source number one. This is Inami, says the Rashbam. Svarahi, it's just a svar, it's not based on the reading of the Pasuk. Mi de ikva Kiddush al hayayin. Right, Kiditanya, come on, Zochrei Olayayin, Mistam Olayayin, Shevisha Asasuda Hook for the Chashiv. So, what does that mean? Right, meaning when you're making Kiddush, it says you're supposed to make Kiddush on a cup of wine. What, just stam in the middle of the street? You're on your way home, grab a cup of wine, make Kiddush. It's a little hard to understand, right? It doesn't mean. Right, so it means that when you set up shop at home, you're having your chashava Shabbos Suda, so then you should make, that's when you should make Kiddush. So what's the difference between these two sources? Right, this is a standard Lamdash HaKira when it comes to, I'll give it to you this way, I'll give you a mashal. Alright. Got my Rambam. Okay, I'll give you a mashal. Right, you guys learned the sugya ever of smichas geula l'tfila? Right? Smichas geula l'tfila. Brachas dalet on the base. Right? Smichas geula l'tfila. So there's an inyan that there should not be a hefsek between the geula, which is the end of Birkas Kriyashma that discusses the geula from Mitzrayim. There shouldn't be a hefsek between the geula and the tfila. So as soon as you have a topic like that, all the Achronish Svarim basically deal with the same issue. What's the issue that they deal with? Well, no, that's the Gemara. The Gemara deals with that. But the Lamdas, the Lamdanim, what do they talk about? We see something like that. What?
Why do you have to be Somech?
Yes. Why do you have to be Somech? The Rishonim already deal with that.
Source.
Right? You guys are too tapped into Chazal. That's the problem. You know, you're too close to Har Sinai. I'm all the way down to the Achronim. You know, but. You guys are holding by already the Tanaim and Amoraim. So that's
source.
What? The source they give you in Rashi and Rabbeinu also give you over there. But it's in terms of the Lamdas, we say, wait a second. We have these two items. Which one is servicing which? You understand what I'm saying? Whenever you have this concept, in as you travel through Shas and Poskim, you'll see this is one of the most standard Chakiras. And then you can plug in all the different sources in the Rishonim. Well, if you learn it from this source, maybe it's this way. You learn that's what. Saying, when you have two concepts that are connected, you say, yes, there's a connection, but what is the purpose of the connection? Right? And generally speaking, when you connect two people, you know, like I have two counselors per bunk? Three counselors per bunk. Well, they don't think very highly of you guys. So so you have three counselors per bunk, so we want to say like, oh, we're trying to find counselors that are not all the same. We don't want to put the same, you know, you don't want to put three alpha males in one bunk because what's the point of that? Then you're just going to have three guys trying to run the show. They'll just end up breaking off into three different little groups in the bunk and each guy will have his group and they'll compete with each other or whatever. You want to have like people with complementary skill sets. Right? I don't know. Did I just touch a chord? I'm sorry if that was a nerve. But you want to find counselors in a bunk who have complementary skill sets. You don't want to have everybody be the same. So you say, okay, so who's the leader? Who's the follower? Right? Or who's the idea guy and who's the practical nuts and bolts guy? Right? You know, you have to have complementary skill sets. Which one is the primary, which one is the secondary is one way to look at it. Which one is helping the other one get the job done? Right? However you look at it. So this is something, whenever you have a tandem, you always have to ask yourself that question. If you want to analyze the tandem and understand it properly, you always have to understand which one is servicing the other in what way. That makes sense? So when you have smichas geula l'tfila, well, what is the geula doing? Is the geula enhancing the tfila? Because I mentioned the geula and then I went right into tfila. So the fact that the geula is there prior to the tfila makes the tfila much better? Or no, maybe because the geula is followed by tfila, that shows me how important the geula is and it enhances the geula. Right? That's a standard question. Whenever you have these two concepts linked together, that's the question you got to ask yourself. Similarly, you talk about Kiddush, B'makom, Seuda. So now somebody asked me the question, right?
Do you need Kiddush because the Seuda is there, or do you need the Seuda and the Kiddush?
Right, meaning which one is servicing the other and enhancing the other? Right? Which one is the Iker and which one is the helper? So when we say Kiddush, B'makom, Seuda, is that I want my Seuda to be more meaningful, therefore I am going to always make Kiddush there? Or no, I want my Kiddush to be more Chashuv, therefore I'm only going to make it in a place where I'm going to eat a Seuda. You hear the difference? So which one is it? So I don't think it's even a machlok between the Rosh and the Rashbam, but I think that could be the difference between the two sources that the Rashbam lays out. Right? The first source is V'karasa l'shabbos oneg b'makom shatakore l'shabbos, right? Shamte oneg. In the place where you call it Shabbos, there should be your oneg, meaning there's a link between oneg Shabbos. What does oneg Shabbos mean? Halachically. What does oneg Shabbos mean?
Oneg.
Right, but halachically, what is Oneg Shabbos? Three Seudos, right? Right, that's essentially the halacha of Oneg Shabbos in its barest bones format is you have to have three meals on bread. Right, you have to have three bread meals over the course of Shabbos. That's the Iker of Oneg Shabbos. Now, obviously, there are many other things included in Oneg Shabbos, and you know, the more the better, but nevertheless, the Iker of Oneg Shabbos is to have three bread meals over the course of Shabbos. Right? So that's Oneg Shabbos. So we're saying that when we have Oneg, that's where the Kriya should be. Or when we have the Kriya, that's where the Oneg should be. Right? So that's why I said it's interesting, and I think that's what you're getting at. The Rush reverses the Lashonos, but I think it's really they probably have the same message, is that the Rush is just making it even clearer. Right? The Rush says in the place of Oneg Shabbos, that's where the Kiddush should be. Right? So what are we saying over there? That the Kiddush is there to give chashivas to the meal. Right? You have a Shabbos meal, you have Oneg Shabbos, and we have a mitzvah of Kiddush. So now, what are we trying to accomplish? Right, so we want to enhance the mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos by attaching the mitzvah of Kiddush to it and saying not only is this a Shabbos meal, you want to know what makes it even a better Shabbos meal? If at the beginning of the meal you make Kiddush, your koveya seuda alayayim, you have a special mitzvah of Kiddush, which you're going to have to do anyway. You have a mitzvah daraisa to make Kiddush on Friday night, so you're going to have to do it anyway, so therefore you're going to make Kiddush. You're going to make Kiddush at the beginning of the meal, which then bolsters the koach and the quality of the meal as not only a mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos, but a mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos that began with the mitzvah d'oraisa of Kiddush. And therefore, it's an enhancement to the meal itself. You hear? Mashenkin, if you hold like the second reason of the Rashbam, so what does he say over there? It's a svara that once the chachamim were misakin Kiddush al hayayin, once they were misaking, you're supposed to make Kiddush on wine. So what? Just stop standing in the middle of the street, you should make Kiddush on wine? No, you should make Kiddush on the wine that you're going to have at the beginning of a Seuda. So there it's clear that the whole goal of Kiddush Makom Seuda is what? To give chashivas to the Kiddush. You shouldn't just make the Kiddush in a haphazard, awry sort of fashion. You should make the Kiddush in a keva sort of fashion that you're going to be koveya seuda in the place that you make your Kiddush. Not just going to, you're just going to do it in such a way that doesn't make the mitzvah look important. So again, according, if you hold the first svara in the Rashbam, The Iker of Kiddush Makom Suda is the Suda. The Kiddush is enhancing the Suda. If you hold like the second reason in the Rishbam, the Iker is the Kiddush, and the fact that you're going to eat a Suda following the Kiddush enhances the Kiddush. That's really step one in our understanding of Kiddush B'Makom Suda. Now, going back to the story between Abaye and Rabbah, we can go to step two. So if you look in the source, in the Tosfos, so here in source number three, over here, Tosfos and Kuf Amid Beis, Yidei Kiddush Yatsu, so first he points out that really you could be Yotze Kiddush if only the Mavarech drinks from the kos. Right? But you see clearly you can't be Yotze Kiddush unless the Mavarech drinks from the kos. Somebody has to drink from the kos. Right? Now, why am I saying this? A, it's good to know, but B, it's a common mistake that people make for Kiddush, for Havdalah. They know the din that you yourself don't have to drink from the Kiddush when someone else is making Kiddush for you. So what ends up happening is the person makes Kiddush and then you say Baruch Atah Hashem Mekadesh HaShabbos, and even before they can start drinking, everybody is talking already. Right? That's a major problem. Why? Because it's true that you don't have to drink from the Kiddush, but someone has to drink from the Kiddush, and if no one drinks from the Kiddush, you're not Yotze Kiddush. So if you're already going to be mafsik, what? Yeah, in a chinam. Yeah, and I remember when I was in yeshiva, there used to be, this is the standard Motzei Shabbos thing, was they say, all right, Baruch Adah Hashem, Adu Ben Kodesh Lechol, shh! That was like the yeshivish thing that they did, because they said like everybody would start talking right away, but they wanted to be careful that nobody should. They said, and then every single person in the room would shush everybody else in the room. You know, so but it's not really, it's important to wait until the person who made the Havdalah is going to drink. But the Eved probably still Yotze as long as he wasn't Mavsik before he drank, but certainly L'chachila, you're not only being Yotze with his Kiddush and with his Havdalah, you're also being Yotze with his Tima. Right? Everybody, now it's not the same as like Shomea Keone, that the Shomea Keone is Kielu, you drank, just because, in other words, Shomea Keone means like, he made Kiddush, so it's Kielu, you made Kiddush. Right? And he drank, so it's Kielu, you drank? No, that doesn't work. Someone has to drink. Right? And Tosfos points out, even the Mekadesh doesn't have to drink. Someone has to drink. Someone who's being Yotze the Mitzvah of Kiddush here should drink. So you have to really wait until at least a person can swallow a little bit from the Kiddush in order to then be mafsik. So it's worthwhile to keep that in mind. Okay, and then Tosfos points out lechatchila it's better that everybody should drink. There is always a chash of an inyan of drinking from a koshel bracha, even if it's not a neshava brachos. There's always an inyan to drink from a koshel bracha. That's a very big zechus. But nevertheless, you're not chayiv to wait for the person to drink. Okay. Now, if you look at the next Tosfos that I gave you on Kufal from an Aleph, Tosfos points out when Rabba said to Abaye, should taste something, ti'imu midi, should taste something. So what was he telling him to taste? Right? So he says, Nired appears, dahainu ti'imas lechem. I think he was referring to bread. Right? Kidamri and Perak Yimel de Shvuis. Kidamri and She Nitom Mide Vazle. Vachle. Right? Vishasu. So he says, I think it means that you have to eat bread when you make Kiddush. And it's been mol mini targima lahashlam gimel suda shabbos kamol de sukkah hainudavka besuda shalishis. Notice what Tosfos says further. And if mine targima work to be yotze your suda shabbos, that's only for shalosh shudas. That whole cheshbon is for shalosh shudas. What are mine targima? So usually it means mizonos foods. Mizonos foods is generally referred to as mine targima. Some say mine targima refers to, like you said, like meat and fruits and things like that. That's why there's a whole discussion. That's why there's a whole discussion. You can, what can you be yotze shalashudis with? But everyone agrees the halacha that best to be yotze with bread. If you don't have any bread, the next best thing is mizonos. If you don't have any mizonos, the next best thing is like fish or meat. If you don't have any fish or meat, the next best thing is fruits, right? Fruits and vegetables. So, but that's but always best to have three bread meals on Shabbos if you can. But Tosis is just pointing out that if the idea of being yotze suda Shabbos with mizonos foods, that's only really for shalashudas, right? Avolobis suudas arbis v'shachris shem ikker kavod Shabbos, but not the mealtime, the Friday night meal and the Shabbos morning meal. That those are the main suudos of Shabbos, and you can't be yotze with mizonos. You have to dafka have kala. Yeah. Yes, there's always, guys, very important rule, you always need lechem mishnah on Shabbos. Even if you would eat 10 meals on Shabbos, you would need lechem mishnah for every single meal. You should have lechem mishnah for every meal on Shabbos. There's even a shita in Achronim that if you're going to make mizonos on something, you should have two. You should have, even because if you're being yotze, some sort of mini targima or pas above kisnin, should have two of those. I'm not saying you have to be so machmer, but I'm always machmer when it comes to eating lots of cake and cookies. That you should always have at least more than one. So, but nevertheless, there is such an inyan of always have lechem mishnah for everything on Shabbos. Okay, that is the sheet of Tosvos that when Abaye was told by Rabbah that you should have something to eat. He specifically meant bread, right? Okay, the Tur quotes the sheet of the Geonim. We mentioned it at the beginning. What's the sheet of the Gaonim? Near, where'd it go there? Hadam minanin kiddush el b'makom su'uda. Ain't sir she yigmar sham kol su'uda so. El afilu ochal davar muat o shasa kos yayin. Even if you ate a little bit, or you drank a cup of wine, shechayev alav bracha, that you would actually have to make a bracha achron on, meaning you drank a revius. Yatsa yidei kiddush. V'gomer su'uda so b'makom acher. V'davka she'achal lechem o shasa yayin avo peros lo. So the Gaonim say it's not necessary to have a whole meal. You can be yotze with a little bit of lechem or a little bit of wine. Now let me be clear: the Gaonim, the sheet of the Gaonim, is not understood as davka referring to bread as in challah. It could even be referring to pasavah bekisnin, like cake and cookies and things like that. You don't have to eat a lot. You can just have something that would necessitate a bracha achrona. Anything that you're going to eat that necessitates a bracha achrona is enough to be yotze kiddush makom suda. So like what we call a kiddush nowadays would be sufficient. Yeah.
It seems to me kind of like a loophole in the sense that your suda really is your sitting on Shabbos meal that we all know about. So you say that you're having a tiny piece of bread now, but that's considered your makom suda. I feel like that's just kind of being around a little bit.
Ah. So you hear what he's saying? That he thinks that this is what we do nowadays is lame, right? That's a good word for it, I think. It's just, what are you doing? Like, come on. So let's try to, that's why we're up to step two. We're trying to understand Kiddush Makom Suda. So now we have a machlokes between Tosfos and the Gaonim. Tosfos is saying that you have to have a bread meal, right? And when he said eat a little bit, and even though, by the way, Rava knew that Abaye was going to eat a bigger meal somewhere else, but he still said have something to eat because you might it's possible that you're going to end up not being able to eat in the same place as your kiddush, whatever. So therefore, just at least you know you got it out of the way. And then the Gaonim say it doesn't have to dafka be bread, and it doesn't have to be the full meal. Rather, anything that requires a bracha achrona. Anything required. Now, Bar Nefesh is also a bracha achrona, but not according to the Gemara. Right? Bar Nefesh, even though there's a great song about it, there's a, but, by great, I mean awful, but the Bar Nefesh, the Gemara refers to as v'lo klum. Right? It's not anything. Now, it doesn't mean it's not anything. It's very important. Say Bar Nefesh. But it's not on the level of benching, certainly, and not even ala mechya or ala gefen, because if those are either min ha Torah or they're a remnant of or a zecher to what's you know, to the bracha achrona min haTorah. So anything that would necessitate a bracha achrona of Birkas HaMazon or Me'ein Shalosh, well, that's what the Gemara refers to, Ala Michya / Ala Geffen, as Me'ein Shalosh, right? So it seems also, by the way, it's possible, you know, leave it at that. So anything that necessitates a Me'ein Shalosh is considered enough for Kiddush Makom Suda. That's the Shita of the Gaon, right? Now, just to be intellectually honest, before we analyze that Machlokes, if you get a chance to look in the Beis Yosef, so the Beis Yosef says something which I think is highly, highly questionable, right? Beis Yosef, in source number 6, Ein lo chiyach sha'tosos arosh cholkim al svarazu. Don't tell me, don't try to prove that Tosos and the Rush disagree with the Gaonim. Meaning I just said it's the machlokes between Tosos and the Gaonim. Tosos says you have to have bread. The Gaonim say no, anything that with a bracha achrona. Right? Right, I know, you're going to quote me that Tosfos, it says that in Kesha Makam Suda Damar Abaye, he quotes the Gemara there, and then he says that it has to dafka be with bread. Right? So he says, Nire, it's three lines from the bottom of the paragraph. Nire, the hainu time alechem timas lefkem dafka, the ikal meimar, how am I going to explain away the Tosfos? Right? He's saying that don't say that it's talking about, you know, whether or not you're yotze kiddush makom suda with the wine, etc. Just saying avol esher the modu the divrei gaonim alol din yin kiddush makom suda shaber mikrei makom suda b'makom sheshos kos yayin shechayv la bracha. He just doesn't want you to think that you're yotze your mitzvah of the Shabbos meal with a little bit of wine or some mizonos, right? Tosos is not coming to argue on the Gaonim. Tosos is saying, don't think that Kiddush Makom Suda is enough to be yotze your Shabbos meal. So, okay, that's the Beis Yosef. Listen, obviously the Beis Yosef is allowed to say whatever he wants. But if you read the Tosfos, Lefi Anias Daiti, that is absolutely not the pshat in the Tosfos. The Tosfos is saying clearly, the way we read it, you know, the right, he says, Nira dahayna t'imas lechem, it's dafka talking about eating bread, meaning Rabbo is telling Abaye, eat some bread. Why was Rabbi telling Abaye, eat some bread? What? I can't hear you. Impossible that he was telling him how to eat a suda, because the Gemara's context is what? He's going to eat a suda somewhere else. You hear? Rabbi knows Abaye is going to eat a suda somewhere else. So he's saying, you have to eat some bread. Because maybe you're not going to be yotze kiddush makom suda where you go. That's what the Gemara says, black on white. So Tosfos is working off of that Gemara. The Gemara says, I don't want you to miss kiddush makom suda. I know you're going to eat somewhere else, but maybe you're not going to end up eating in the same place that you made kiddush. So therefore, be yotze kiddush makom suda here. So then Tosfos comes along and says, no, he just didn't want him to. He wanted him to eat bread, so you wouldn't have a misconception that you can yotze your suda Shabbos without bread. I don't see that in the Gemara at all, and I don't know why Tosfos would say that in order to read this Gemara. Because read the Hemshech of the Tosfos. V'immo, minitragim al ashlam gimasuda Shabbos, kimo besukah, hainu davka besuda shlishis. And minitragim of being mashlam besuda Shabbos, that's only for Shalosh Shudas. Avalo besudas arvis v'shachrash, and ikr kovet Shabbos. You can't be yotze sudas Friday night and suda Shabbos day with Mine Targima, so he had to have been telling him to eat bread. Again, Tosfos says two things. Number one, he was telling him to eat bread, and number two, you can't be Yotze Suda Shabbos without bread. So the Beis Yosef says, yeah, that just shows you that Tosfos really could agree with the Gaonim. Because why did Rabbi tell him to eat bread? So he shouldn't have a misconception. You can be Yotze Suda Shabbos with Mizonos. That's clearly what Tosfos is saying is not that. Clearly what Tosfos is saying is, In order to be Yotze Kish Makom Suda, you need to do what? What? You have to have bread. You can't be Yotze Kish Makom Suda. You can't be Yotze Kish Makom Suda with Mizonos. Against the Gomer. And that's why Tosa says, there are sources that say you can be Yotze Mini Targima. Yeah, that's for Shalosh Shudas. Shalosh Shudas doesn't have a Kiddush. You hear? And this goes back to your question. So, isn't it lame that we're Yotze Kish Makom Suda with a cookie, even the Halig Shabbos cake, right? How could it be? The answer is very simple. According to the Gaonim, what is the function of Kiddush Makom Suda? According to the Gaonim, what's the function of Kiddush Makom Suda?
Just so you have a little bit of
why?
Hmm?
Correct! Right? What's he saying? Somebody else explain it also? What's he saying? No, we had a Chakira to start with. What's the function of Kiddush Makom Suda? Right? Is the Suda enhancing the Kiddush, or is the Kiddush enhancing the Suda? So according to the Gaonim, which one is it? Again, the Gaonim say all you need to have is a revius of wine. All you need to have is some mizonos, right? So which one is it? It can't be the enhancement to the suda. This isn't your suda, right? It has to be that we're enhancing the kiddush. So how much do you have to do to enhance the kiddush already? It doesn't have to be a full meal. It just. The goal is that the kiddush should be kavua, it should be chashuv. So I'm not just going to have, I'm just going to say, make a kiddush and take a tiny sip and then go on my way. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to drink a full revius. I'm going to have a little bit of a drinking, or I'm going to eat some food, mizonos, maybe a little cholent, whatever it is, right? So this is. This is the main function of Kiddush Makom Suda, to make the Kiddush more kavua, more chashuv. So to increase the chashivas of the Kiddush, it's not lame just to have a little bit of mizonos. It's okay. That's good enough. However, according to Tosfos, he holds like the first svara in the Rishbam, the Pasuk. Right? He says, what's the source of Kiddush? The source of Kiddush is B'makom Oneg Shamte Kriyor, Makam Kriya Shamte Oneg, right? It's to enhance the meal. So if this isn't your Shabbos meal, then why are you making Kiddush there? The whole goal of Kiddush Makom Suda is that Kiddush should dafka be made at the place of your Shabbos meal. Okay. That is, so again, just to review, we had the opening chakira, two reasons in the Rashbam why you have Kiddush Makom Suda. And number two, we had an idea that the nafkamina between the two reasons, whether it's the Kiddush enhancing the meal or the meal enhancing the Kiddush, is can you eat at a Kiddush? Right? Can you be Yotze Kiddush Makom Suda at what we call a Kiddush? So according to the Gaonim, you can be Yotze Kiddush Makom Suda at a Kiddush because the whole function of Kiddush Makom Suda is to enhance the Kiddush. So as long as you have something to eat with the Kiddush, that's good enough. B'di'eved, if you have nothing else to eat, you could drink a revius of wine, right? Whereas according to Tosfos, that's not sufficient because the function of Kiddush Makom Suda is to enhance the Suda. So if it's not going to be your Suda Shabbos, then you can't. There's no Kiddush Makom Suda because you're not having your Suda Shabbos now, and you weren't really Yotze the mitzvah of Kiddush. So according to Tosfos, you can't eat at a Kiddush because retroactively you won't have been Yotze Kiddush Makom Suda, and then it was also eat before Kiddush. Yeah.
Two questions. Number one, the first side is the day of the Gomer.
The side. Well, which one's the first? Which one's the second? Sorry.
Where the Mizonos is to give Chashivas to the.
Yeah, the Su'udah is to give Chashivas to the Kiddush. That makes sense according to the Gaonim because they're saying you don't have to have a whole meal. You just want the Kiddush to look good. You want it to have a little something to give it some oomph, right? Whereas Tosfos is saying, no, the whole goal is that we want to attach Kiddush to the meal. But if it's not your real meal, then that's not good. Yeah.
I think it's interesting. The last thing I heard I didn't see this from himself or see it, but I heard from another day that the kiddush in the shul, everyone like goes outside and walks and like eats whatever. He like brings like lechem mishnah, like six, and picks like after.
Right. Well, that's the shita of Tosfos, right? That's the shita of Tosfos. It's paskin by the Vilna Gaon in his commentary on the Shulchan Aruch that you can't have kiddush makom suuda without having a real meal. Now, everyone agrees it doesn't have to be your meal, meaning you might be eating more later, right? Because that was the case in the Gemara itself. That was the case of Rav and Abaye. But it has to be that you could have been yotzei your Shabbos meal, meaning you have to have bread. That's the idea. Okay, there's more to... I want to take this to the next stage and maybe explain. So, how is it that we have kiddushes? Meaning the simple answer is, how do you have a kiddush? So we hold like the Gaonim. Okay, and that's true. The Shulchan Aruch does paskin like the Gaonim. However, it's a little less warm and fuzzy to go eat at a kiddush now. So if I've made you unhappy, I've done my job. But the real reason it's a little less warm and fuzzy is because why is it that the Shulchan Aruch Paskin is like the Gaonim? Why is it the Shulchan Aruch Paskin is like the Gaonim? Yeah, but again, Tosfos read that Gemara also. Because remember the Beis Yosef. If you want to know why the Shulchan Aruch Paskin is something, you got to look in the Beis Yosef. Right? Back in the day, if you read the introduction, the Shulchan Aruch was just written as a Chazara Sefer for the Beis Yosef, right? So it didn't work out for him the way he had planned, but nevertheless, you got to always look in the Beis Yosef if you want to understand the Pesach of Shulchan Aruch. The Beis Yosef holds... Beis Yosef doesn't just hold like the Gaonim, right? What does the Beis Yosef hold? He holds that even Tosfos holds like the Gaonim. You understand? He holds that everyone agrees with the Gaonim. It's not just that he says, oh, it's a Machlokas, Tosfos and the Gaonim, we pass like the Gaonim. He says, I think you can read Tosfos according to the Gaonim. So once you do that, of course you're going to paskin like the Gaonim because nobody argues. But as we pointed out, that is a very difficult reading of the Tosfos. That's not the Chora, the Pashup Shad of the Tosfos. The Beis Yosef has a tremendous chiddush as to how to read that Tosfos. Again, as I said, just because I think the Beis Yosef is wrong, he's probably right and I'm probably wrong, but we're all chayav to learn Torah to the best of our abilities. But Lemaisa, I'm not the only one who thought he was wrong about that, just for the record. There were many greater than all of us put together who thought the Beis Yosef was reading the Tosfos wrong also. So, but the point is that if the whole psak of the Shulchan Aruch is based on the fact, or at least partially based on the fact, that he thinks everyone agrees with the Gaonim, and perhaps we don't think that everyone agrees with the Gaonim. We think it's a legitimate machlokes between Tosfos and the Gaonim. So now it's not so geschmack to then be yotzei only according to the Gaonim. So maybe we'll try to continue with this next time. But if you can read the rest of the Makoros, both in the old ones and the new ones that I handed out, if you need more material, please let me know. And if you have other topics you want to discuss, please don't hesitate to write them down, tell me, put it on the group chat, whatever it is, okay? But I want to just leave you with this idea. Somebody told me recently that there's a shul in a certain neighborhood. I don't want to say which one because I don't think it reflects the neighborhood at all, but there's a shul in a certain neighborhood. It's the first shul he's ever been to that actually has a kiddush on Friday night. They have a kiddush on Friday night. So that's problematic on a few levels. There is a widespread minhag Yisrael not to have a kiddush on Friday night. I'll give you a quick example. It's in the Sefer Halichos Shlomo, in the section of Simchas Torah. You guys know the Halichos Shlomo? If you ever want to, if you're looking for a great svarim, that's I think there are three volumes. There's one volume on Inyanei Tefillah and assorted sundry topics. There's the two volumes on the Moadim, It's very, very worthwhile. They collected all of the different writings of Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach on different topics, and they put them together. It's one of those svarim that, like, there's a little something for everyone. Like, if you're not holding in the sugyas at all, it's just very nice. And if you're holding in the sugyas, the more you're holding in the sugyas, the better it is. You know, so it's one of those nice types of svarim. So, very, very kedai. So in the Halicha Shlomo, on Simchas Torah, so they say that Rosh Shlomo Zalman in his yeshiva was called Kol Torah in Bayit Vegan, still there. So in Kol Torah, they used to have akafos right after davening on Leil Simchas Torah, and the akafos would go for a few hours. So some of the people were hungry and thirsty, and they wanted to eat and drink, but you're not allowed to eat and drink on after. You got to also remember, when do they have akafos in Eretz Yisrael?
First day.
It's not like us in Chutz Laaretz. You know, the hakafas are on the second day. Everybody's still full from lunch by the time hakafas start. You know, so there they were mamish hungry. So they asked Rosh Shlomo Zalman, are we allowed to make kiddush and have a little something to eat and drink? And Rosh Shlomo Zalman told them they're not allowed. Because he said that the minhag Yisrael is not to make kiddush on a Friday night or a Leil Yontif. You yotze the kiddush at the meal. He says, we're makel for kiddush during the day, but the minhag is to be machmer for kiddush at night. So he was saying it b'toras minhag. So when I heard that, I was a little, perturbed by the fact that they have, mainstream Orthodox shuls making kiddush on Friday night. Certainly, at the very least, flies in the face of the standard minhag Yisrael. But next time we'll try to discuss why, in fact, it might be even worse than that. Meaning, it's possible that it is midina. One is chayiv to specifically make kiddush on Friday night when in the place where they're having their actual meal. So too on Leil Yontif, you're actually chayiv to make kiddush in the place where you're having your actual meal. And it's not just a minhag that's practically speaking developed not to make a separate kiddush on Friday night. So and that goes, and hopefully based on that, we'll be able to clarify some of the matters of why it might be okay, according to all opinions, to eat at a kiddush, even if you hold like the shita of Tosfos, that you're really not yotze kish makom suda without having bread at a kiddush. Okay.